Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And a welcome this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, this beautiful 16th day of May 2005. Here in the upstate, we currently have weather right around the mid-50s under fair skies. A few places have some dense fog. There's some patches of fog in the upstate this morning. You're going to get up high to around, the high will be around 80 degrees today. Little maybe the upper 70s, the weather service says. So should be a beautiful day while we're inside our cubicles working away in the office. Or if you happen to have the blessing and benefit of being able to work outside for your job, you're going to enjoy today. It's just a beautiful day up ahead. As you make your way out, you can take note of that. This morning, we have so much catching up to do after just a tremendous week last week with Rip and Richie Williams. Rip and Richie, of course, got his name from his activities in ripping up what he considered to be child pornography inside the Barnes & Noble stores in his local area. And he just recently had moved down here from New York. So here he is in the South, a transplant, happy to be back. I guess he'd lived down here for a number of years, back in the 90s, and then moved away and came back now. So we're glad to have Rip and Richie here, and hopefully we'll have him back soon on another show that will involve the Christian Worldview program here, as well as hopefully, perhaps, at any rate, some other show in the afternoon on his own. So a lot of exciting things are happening here at TRN. We have a number of benefits that have been going on over the weekend, of beneficial things, including, again, the improvement of our signal quality. Hopefully, we're even reaching more people this morning. Those things are going to continue to increase over time. Now, we have needs here at TRN. I just want to let you know early for things to help us expand our programming and our show. One of them includes the need for computers. We need old computers, new computers. If you have an old computer and you can help and you can donate it to the show, you know, there are these things that are a Pentium 3 or a Pentium 2, not worth much on the open market anymore, but we'd be happy to take them here at TRN because we have certain special uses we can use an older computer for. If you have an older computer and you can donate it to the Tyranny Response Network, just go ahead and bring it by the Integrity Group office at 514 Pettigrew Street, 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Drop it off there with the receptionist, and we'll make sure we get it into the hands of the TRN production staff so that we can make good use of that. In addition to that, one of our longtime supporters here at TRN has made an offer to match any funds that would be put towards the purchase of new computer equipment. And that's up to $400. So if you go ahead and bring in some cash or a check to the Integrity Group office, for instance, we'll be happy to make sure, and it's designated, of course, for computer parts. We'll be happy to match that, or someone, one of our longtime listeners, will be happy to match that up to an amount of $400. So if you can help us either with a cash donation for the computer equipment or also help us by just bringing an old computer, either way, it would be greatly appreciated this week. We're also looking for people who happen to have some high ground in the Spartanburg area, or some people that might have some high ground in the Anderson-Pickens area. If you do and are interested in being part of the Tyranny Response Network, the network producers would like to talk to you. You can simply send them an email to either the regular email address for the show, questions@policyofliberty.net, and we'll forward that on to them. Or you can go ahead and send it to TRN@policyofliberty.net. That's TRN@policyofliberty.net. If you know somebody, again, with some high ground that wants to be involved in helping spread the TRN signal, go ahead and give us drop TRN a line, and we'll make sure that you get put in touch with the right people to help facilitate that. We also have another great announcement that has to do with the TyrannyResponse.com website. The TyrannyResponse.com website has been largely the product of the efforts of Rippin' Richie Williams, who's been such a great help to the Tyranny Response Network. And TyrannyResponse.com is going to eventually displace PolicyOfLiberty.net as the main radio show page. Now, it doesn't mean we won't refer people quickly to PolicyOfLiberty.net for all the good things that it has there, but TyrannyResponse.com will become the main page, and from there you can branch out either to popandlock.com, which is Rip and Richie Williams' page, or my page, which is PolicyOfLiberty.net. There is going to be the link to listen live and to recorded shows right on TyrannyResponse.com, as you'll find out when you visit there. And all the main announcements that we talk about on the show have been placed there on that particular website. For instance, if you go to TyrannyResponse.com, you'll find full information for the Times Examiner, the Americans for Constitutional Government, the Institute on the Constitution meeting in Pelzer, various Confederate meetings and announcements that we have and we make here on the Christian Worldview Show will be posted there. There'll be things like the Freeman. We're going to have our favorite universities posted up there. So just in case you're driving along and don't have a pen or pencil and can jot down the information here that I've put out, you'll be able to remember. I'll just go to the website later and pull down all that information. Yes, that will be available for you to do, including information about donations of computers and how to purchase my latest book, Bible and Government, how to find the Stonewall Jackson Robert E. Lee historical documentary video that's been talked about at the Southern History Conference last month, and that some of you have seen it with great enthusiasm. These things will all be on the TyrannyResponse.com website. So we're pleased that we're beginning to move forward even further. Not beginning, we're continuing to move forward even further in our quest to promote liberty, to advance the vision of the Founding Fathers, to help Christians think more deeply. That's our main goal. Just a couple of announcements before we go into some of the main show ideas. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume you do not have a sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from the Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, or just join us for the meeting 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground, just off Main Street in downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And we're very glad to have the Libertarian Party supporting the Tyranny Response Network to the extent that they do. It may interest you to know that there's a politically incorrect, uncensored monthly newspaper that sometimes publishes the Tyranny Response Unit's writing. It's called The First Freedom, and a supporter of the show, Nelson Waller, offers any of our listeners a free postpaid sample copy of it. Call Nelson at 864-642-4315 if interested. You can also sample this fine paper's material at www.gulftel.com/firstfreedom. It picks up where the liberal media leave off. And those are a couple of announcements that you can find, indeed, right on the website. They're right there, ready for you to peruse at your leisure rather than scurrying to find a pencil or pen to write down the information just given. Well, what do we have in the news? Just a couple quick stories to get out of the way here. I have a backlog of stories about a foot deep. The research staff kept working away, sending us all sorts of interesting things while Rip and Richie and I were doing the show last week. And because of that, we just did not get a chance to cover them all. We probably did about a third of what we normally cover because he was here and we were having such a good time and doing a different kind of show format. Yes, you saw the Tyranny Response Unit being a little more sarcastic. Well, speaking of someone who purports to be sarcastic, is really actually kind of crude. Is this Howard Stern fellow who went off the regular airways and now is trying to get onto the satellite network or the Sirius network, Sirius network. Hyundai customers say no to Stern. Report automakers' customers don't want Sirius because they don't want to listen to the shock jock. New York, a surprising number of Hyundai customers said they didn't want Sirius satellite radio installed in their vehicles because they objected to Howard Stern. according to a news website. Isn't that interesting? Poor Howard is falling in popularity among mainstream individuals. I guess if he thought that they were all like him, when most people had at this public school had succeeded in indoctrinating them, they would possibly be able to have more of an audience than he has. But he was wrong. A lot of people just aren't interested in listening. Brave New Schools, WorldNet Daily's reporting, Bibles banned on playgrounds. Legal group challenges restrictions on student activity during recess. An elementary school principal who barred students from reading the Bible during recess after a complaint from parents is violating the Constitution, according to a public interest law challenge from his actions. In his letter to the Knox County School District in Tennessee, the Alliance Defense Fund declared the principal, Carnes Elementary School, is on shaky constitutional ground. The Constitution does not prohibit Bibles during recess. It prohibits wholesale banning of Bibles during the recess, said Charles Pope, the ADF allied attorney who wrote the letter to the district. So here we have schools, even in Tennessee, that's the South. Yes, it can happen in your own backyard, banning Bibles. We're not surprised here at the Tyranny Response Network. We don't believe that the public school has any good intentions or intentions that are laudable or things that we would like to see happen, and therefore we're not surprised by any of this happening. Just a couple of quick news stories there before we come back from the break here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain. You're listening to TRN.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. You know, the Tyranny Response Unit was such a hit with our sister, our affiliate station, the Political Cesspool in Memphis, Tennessee, that they've invited me to be back on the show tomorrow night. If you go to thepoliticalcesspool.org at around 8:30 Eastern time, you'll be able to listen to me call in and talk with those folks over there about whatever they have on their minds. So thepoliticalcesspool.org, we're glad that they're having us back on the air and they're supporting the Tyranny Response Network and the Tyranny Response Unit as well. Well, what have we got to remind you of this morning? Well, one of our research staff decided after hearing one of our recent shows to send me the Communist Manifesto. Isn't that a good thing to read on the air on Christian Worldview? The Communist Manifesto. Does anybody know what the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto are? Let me read them to you. Let's see if you think that American public policy at all has a Marxist or Marxian bent to it, an angle, a slant. Plank number one, abolition of property and land and applicable and application of all rents of lands to public purposes. Do we have the abolition of land here in the United States? Well, have you ever noticed what would happen if you didn't abide by the regulations or pay the fees due called the property taxes? Well, they take away it. They take away the property. Because what you find is that the property is not really yours. You have the privilege of use and possession, but you actually don't own it. So that's been accomplished here long ago, at least since Abraham Lincoln, the great scoundrel president in the 1860s. Number two, plank number two, a heavy, progressive, graduated income tax. Well, do we have a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax in America? Sure seems like one. I don't know how much heavier it could get. Number three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. Well, this had happened to some extent, although now there's talk about getting rid of it in a few years. That won't happen for long if it does. It'll just be a payoff to some retirees at the time or people that are going out of government service or dying, who knows. Maybe they'll have assisted suicide of a number of politicians. That would actually be helpful. Then they would be able to pass on their estates to the next generation of scoundrels. Number four, confiscation of the property of all emigrants and rebels. Five, centralization of credit in the banks of the state by means of a national bank with a state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Do we have centralization of credit in banks? Yes. It's called the Federal Reserve System. Look on that little green pieces of paper in your wallet, folks, and you're going to see it's called a Federal Reserve Note. Why? Because there is a corporation, apparently a private corporation, which actually owns all the money and all the system here for transactions in the United States. Now, I realize it's tightly linked with the Treasury Department, but this is basically a private bank, a private enterprise, owned by who knows who. Don't really have a list of the shareholders. This thing's never been audited before, but apparently it's raking off huge sums of money for somebody somewhere. They get to borrow approximately 13% of all the bank's money in the United States for no interest, and they get to lend it back to them or to the government at an interest rate of maybe 2, 3, 4, 5, 6%, depending what the discount rate is, make a killing. Can you imagine being able to even get 1% on 13% of all the money in America? It'd be incredible, the amount of money they make. So that's happening. What else? What's plank number six? Centralization of the means of communication and transport in the hands of the state. Well, although this hasn't happened really entirely yet, at least officially, we do find a de facto nationalization of transportation and media in many respects. So we have a little bit of freedom there, but nothing. At least the Tyranny Response Network's out there. I realize all the other folks are being controlled by somebody else or led around by somebody else. Not us. We do our own thing here, if you haven't noticed. Plank number seven of the Communist Manifesto. Extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state, bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil, generally in accordance with a common plan. Well, okay, we have regulation already. Number eight, equal liability of all work. Equal liability of all to work. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Okay, and that one we may have resisted successfully to some extent here in America. Number nine, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries. Gradual abolition of all the distinction between town and country by more equitable distribution of populace over the country. So they're kind of forcing people to migrate around rather than just go into one particular big city. Plank number 10, free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children's factory labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. Well, that plank has certainly been successfully implemented here in America. So starting at the top, let's see how many we've got of the 10. Private property abolition, that's one. Heavy progressive income tax, that's two. Rights of inheritance, no. Then we have, let me skip through and find the ones we know we have here. Number five, centralization of credit in the banks, that's three. Centralization of the means of communication, well, more or less, we'd give it 3.5. At least extension of factors, instruments of production owned by the state. Nah, let's not say that's fully implemented yet. But I realize you can make a case for all these things, by the way, folks. At least we're moving the wrong direction towards all these things. And then free education. I'd say we at least got 4.5 of the planks completely implemented in the United States of America, and probably tenets of several of the other ones. So if we've got roughly half of the plank here already instituted, are we not on the way still to being a socialist society? In fact, are we not in many respects already a socialist society? I think so. I think we are on that road, and we have moved away from the Christian worldview on account of this diabolical public policy we face by these imperious leaders. That's something about communism this morning. You got to know something about your enemy. And you're listening to Christian Worldview. We're the program which helps you think deeper, whether you're a Christian or otherwise. We think about freedom. We think about the vision of the Founding Fathers. We think differently than any other station you can listen to. And we're going to be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And just a reminder to you, our backup phone line is one we're actually using today rather than one you just heard in our recorded spot. You can call the show this morning at 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. As always, you can send your questions and comments by email to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. A couple other quick items that are of interest today. Pete Hendrickson, the author of the great book Cracking the Code, has sent out an email saying, "Cracking the Code warriors continue to rock." Kevin E. Has received complete refunds of everything withheld from him and given to the federal government, Social Security contributions and all, during 2002 and 2003. Mike Dowling has received a complete refund of everything withheld from him and given to the state of California for income taxes during 2004. Kevin and Mike share the evidence of their courageous defense and rule of law at www.losthorizons.com. And then you go through and find the different links at losthorizons.com. And apparently they are posting refund checks. Crack the code and uphold the law, it says. Now, this is interesting stuff because a lot of people are having success in not paying the privilege tax, that is a privileged incomes tax, and being currently giving refunds. So you can go ahead and take a look at losthorizons.com and find out a little bit more about that, how that whole program is proceeding. I did read that book by Pete Hendrickson. It's an excellent book. It seems to have some fantastic points in it, and as far as I can tell, it's correct. Now, what do I know? I'm not a lawyer, certainly, but from what I can tell as a scholar and a researcher, it seems to have a lot of merit to the Pete Hendrickson book. If you haven't had a chance to read it yet, go ahead and pick up a copy of Cracking the Code by Pete Hendrickson and find out the truth about income taxation in America. Very interesting book. We also have a couple other interesting or pieces of news. I don't know if it's that interesting, but pieces of news that the research section has found out. Women rallied for the president's nominees. Yesterday, I joined Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson and several of my House colleagues for a rally up or down votes for the president's judicial nominees. Over 100 women from around the country joined us in this prominent and important endeavor. 100 women. Well, see, since there are about 150 million women, I guess they don't even come out as a percentage of a percentage point. But at any rate, well, at least there's a few people out there supporting the presidential's nominee. Most recently, been hearing the restoring constitutional tradition would upset the system of checks and balances. This couldn't be further from the truth. A supermajority requirement for confirming judicial nominees would badly politicize the judiciary. Yes, that's probably true. Let me underscore this author is saying and express my strong support for two outstanding nominees on the D.C. Court of Appeals and the Fifth District Courts of Appeals, respectively. Janice Rogers Brown, who's on the California Supreme Court, not exactly the most conservative state, was reelected with 76%. She has strong bipartisan support, and the Democrat gold standard, the American Bar Association, deemed her qualified. I will continue to support the president's highly qualified nominees right up or down, right to an up or down vote on the floor of the United States Senate. I also want to commend our majority leader Senator Frist for his commitment to resolve on this issue. Elizabeth Dole, that's the author. Elizabeth Dole, didn't see that up front here and just caught it at the bottom. Well, it's nice to know that Elizabeth Dole is making noise once again about supporting the president's nominees. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in these judicial appointees, by the way. I would love to be proven wrong. I'd like to see someone really get on there who does another Clarence Thomas or Scalia-type role on that court. The chance of George W. Bush appointing him is just going to be purely accidental and coincidental, because the man obviously just doesn't care about the issues that we care about. He's on something else entirely, going his own way, to say the least. Well, anyway, what other stories do we have? The Libertarian Party, the party of principle, has sent off a note to us to remind us, in a 100-0 vote, the U.S. Senate passed the second largest supplemental suspending bill in the history of the nation. If that were not enough reason to question the common sense of our legislator, the Republican and Democrat leaders also passed the Real ID Act, which was hidden within the spending bill. With the passing of the bill, states will have to abide by federal standards for providing driver's licenses and ID cards to citizens. States will also have to link their citizen databases to federal systems in order to obtain funding for their program. Is this a good thing? This is an awful thing. It's terrible. The implications of the Real ID Act are they're tragic, to say the least. But what are we going to do when a government wants to put us under this national ID system so that we cannot work any longer for someone else? Does that mean those who really love liberty will actually have to go out and find self-employment and find some sort of their own business so they don't have? They can just receive cash? I mean, it's going to drive people who are freedom lovers even further into the underground and make it far more difficult for them to live here in America. Well, should we be pragmatic then and just get the national ID, just play along? That's one solution. We can still fight them. We can still have a fight for freedom with all these other kinds of cards, and to some extent, at any rate, I would imagine. Otherwise, you couldn't have fights for freedom in other countries which are already communist or way out there. I lived in Chile for years, and everyone has a national ID issue they have had for the last 25 years. Life can go on pretty normally, and you can actually have people struggling for freedom. So that's one option. The principle of us don't like that option. We don't like the idea of having to cave into pragmatism or give in to any of this New World Order, globalism, or other things. But is there another solution to the national ID card problem? Well, if you have a question or comment about that, I'd be happy to hear from you about it. You can reach us again, the backup line today, 864-201-6955. Be happy to hear from you about that story. 100-0. How could these senators be so bad? Well, they are. They really are really that bad. Don't kid yourself about these guys. Okay, war, peace, and the states. A lot of stuff coming up here. We've got theoretical articles interesting commentaries we can make. You know, I must have 20 or 30 emails, well, maybe 20, left in my inbox. We'll never get through these things, it seems. Well, somehow this week we will succeed in doing just that. In the meantime, let me just remind you that you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen, and then say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 through 1903.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently in the upstate of South Carolina, it's in the mid-50s, going to get up to near 80 degrees today. If they're predicting near 80, you can be assured it's going to be mid-80s. A beautiful sunny day. There's a few patches of fog as you're making your way out to work this morning, so beware of that. But other than that, looks real good weather-wise here in the upstate today. Well, I've mentioned to you many times before the Times Examiner. I want to mention it to you again, 864-268-0576. Call Bob Dill or Laverle. Get your subscription for just $25 a year, $27 a year if you live out of state. And what a great price for such a great publication full of wonderful columnists, including yours truly, and famous people like Walter Williams, Thomas Sowell, and Joe Sobran, Charlie Reese, all there, delivered right to your doorstep, middle of the week in the upstate of South Carolina. Give them a call at 864-268-0576. Now remember, folks, all of this information is now posted at a new website we have called tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. TimesExaminer.com. You'll be able to find their information about the Times Examiner, about the Foundation for Economic Education, and all sorts of other things that we hold dearly here and mention frequently on the Tyranny Response Network, including things like the political cesspool, fellow media that think like us, as far as we can tell, and almost entirely. They're out in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to be on their show tomorrow night. They like having me on so much, they begged to have me come back at 8:30 Eastern time tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening. That would be May the 17th, in case you're listening to the recorded broadcast. Any rate, go to TimberdaneResponse.com and see what we've got going. It's pretty nice. I didn't mention earlier in the show that when we talked about Bibles being banned on playgrounds in Knox, Tennessee, that a mother's call gets a son in hot water. This happened last week. Kevin Francois gave up his lunch break to talk to his mother, but ended up costing him the rest of the school year. Francois, a junior at Spencer High School in Columbus, was suspended for disorderly conduct Wednesday after he was told to give up his cell phone at lunch while talking to his mother, who is deployed in Iraq, he says. His mother, Sergeant First Class Monique Bates, left in January for a one-year tour and serves with the 203rd Forward Support Battalion, 3rd Brigade, 3rd Infantry Division. This is our first time separated like this, said Francois, 17, on Thursday. Bates came into Fort Benning with her son from Hunter Army Airfield in Savannah, Georgia. She enrolled him at Spencer in August. Since her deployment overseas, Francois, whose father was killed when he was 5 years old, lives with a guardian who has 5 children in Columbus. So here we have another place nearby, right nearby us here in the South. Yes, it can happen in your backyard. People getting suspended for talking on cell phones in public schools. Best thing that ever happened to this young man, by the way. Too bad it didn't happen earlier. Too bad they didn't suspend him when he was 8 years old and save him all the years of tyranny and misery of having to sit through public education classes and the indoctrination program at the government school. Yes, we applaud and rejoice every time we see somebody else getting out by means of being suspended. Why do we think differently like this? Well, because we think like no others do on the airwaves, folks. We think the public school, the government school, is an evil institution, are the greatest force for leftism and these planks of the Communist Manifesto that we read earlier on the show. We do not like the public school because we think it is an anti-liberty force, anti-Christian force, and pro-everything we hate force here in America. And so when someone gets suspended and doesn't have to go through that program anymore, we're quite pleased to hear about it. Why wouldn't we be? Makes sense. You have to admit, even if you don't agree, we're being pretty consistent in opposing the public school. Well, what do we have? What else is going on today? Well, Murray Rothbard. This was sent to me yesterday, I believe, or maybe it was Saturday over the weekend sometime. It's entitled "The Anatomy of the State," and I thought it was just an excellent piece to read a little bit about. My mailbox again is full of all sorts of excellent pieces to go through. Murray Rothbard was a famous libertarian. In fact, I believe he was the instigator, the founder of the Libertarian Party here in the United States. He was an anti-Vietnam War activist. People remember him a lot for that. He was also an atheist and not someone who held the Christian worldview, but unlike most of them, he really understands the Christian worldview. It is truly amazing how insightful this guy is, even though he doesn't agree with us. So I'm very, very pleased whenever I can read Murray Rothbard. I would encourage you to read him too, not because you're going to agree with every word necessarily, but because you're going to find him to be such a useful and insightful person, a scholar, par excellence, way ahead of the pack. Well, this article, The Anatomy of the State, sets in focus for us today something we can think about and get our minds around a little bit. He says, "What the State is Not." This is an essay from The Egalitarianism as a Revolt Against Nature and Other Essays by Murray and Rothbard, published in 2000, originally published in 1974. "What the State is Not." The state is almost universally considered an institution of social service. Some theorists venerate the state as an apotheosis, that means becoming like God, of society. Others regard it as an amiable, although inefficient, organization for achieving social ends. but almost all regarded as a necessary means for achieving the goals of mankind, a means to be ranged against the private sector, and often winning in this competition of resources. With the rise of democracy, the identification of the state with society has been redoubled, until it is common to hear sentiments expressed which violate virtually every tenet of reason and common sense, such as, "We are the government." The useful collective term "we" has enabled an ideological camouflage to be thrown over the reality of political life. If we are the government, then anything a government does to an individual is not only just and untyrannical, but also voluntary on the part of the individual concerned. If the government has incurred a huge public debt, which must be paid by taxing one group for the benefit of another, this reality of burden is obscured by saying that we owe it to ourselves. If the government conscripts a man and throws him into jail for dissident opinion, then he is doing it to himself, and therefore nothing untoward has occurred. Under this reasoning, any Jews murdered by Nazi Germany were not murdered. Instead, they must have committed suicide, since they were the government. They were the government, which was democratically chosen, and therefore anything the government did to them was voluntary on their part. One would not think it necessary to belabor this point, and yet the overwhelming bulk of the people hold the fallacy to a greater or lesser degree. Indeed, they do. How many times have we not said, "Oh, but you know, it's wrong to have this system or this policy, and we need to go and do all that we can to change it, even to the point of revolution." And they say, "Well, we can't do that. We live in an elected democracy. It's our fault. You know, we were different than other countries. We can't resort to such tactics because it's our fault." I've heard Christians tell me this, especially in the Divine Right program, the Divine Right School. You're listening to Christian Worldview. Where else? With Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're providing more of that reference for your brain this morning. Before I get back to Murray Rothbard's article, want to read just a quick little funny, not funny, sad, but true email that came through. Some content here from the Tyranny Response research system. Can you imagine working for a company that has little more than 500 employees and has the following statistics? It must be the NBA. That's the National Basketball Association, I suppose. 36 have been accused of spousal abuse. 7 have been arrested for fraud. 19 have been accused of writing bad checks. 117 have directly or indirectly bankrupted at least 2 businesses. 3 have done time for assault. 71 cannot get a credit card due to bad credit. 14 have been arrested on drug-related charges. 8 have been arrested for shoplifting. 21 currently are defendants in lawsuits. and 84 have been arrested for drunk driving in the last year. Can you guess which organization this is? Give it up. Give up guessing? Here's what the answer is. It's the 535 members of the United States Congress. The same group of idiots that crank out hundreds of new laws each year is designed to keep the rest of us in line. You gotta pass this one on. Indeed. Can you believe what a bunch of scoundrels these folks are? Well, we believe it here. We've never been in doubt. Other people have been in doubt. Other people are appalled or shocked. We're not. We understand what's really going on here. America, America. Let me go back to reading Murray Rothbard's Anatomy of the State. He says, "We must therefore emphasize that we are not the government. The government is not us. The government does not in any accurate sense represent the majority of the people. But even if it did, even if 70% of the people decided to murder the remaining 30%, this would still be murder and would not be voluntary suicide on the part of the slaughtered minority. No organicist metaphor, no relevant bromide that we are all part of one another must be permitted to obscure this basic fact. If, then, the state is not us, if it is not the human family getting together to decide mutual problems, if it is not a lodge meeting or a country club, what is it? Briefly, the state is that organization in society which attempts to maintain a monopoly of the use of force and violence in a given territorial area. In particular, it is the only organization in society that obtains its revenue not by voluntary contribution or payment for services rendered by coercion. While other individuals or institutions obtain their incomes by production of goods and services and by the peaceful and voluntary sale of these goods and services to others, the state obtains its revenue by the use of compulsion, that is, by the use and the threat of the jailhouse and the bayonet. Having used force and violence to obtain its revenue, the state generally goes on to regulate and dictate the other actions of individual subjects. One would think that simple observation of all states throughout history and over the globe would be proof enough of this assertion. But the miasma of myth has lain so long over the state activity that elaboration is necessary." And so he's going to go on and talk about more details of the state. Let me just skip down to a couple other points in his article. A successful advice to deter people from attacking the state or how the state preserves itself. One successful device is to instill fear of any alternative systems of rule or non-rule. The present rulers, it was maintained, supply to all the citizens an essential service for which they should be most grateful, protection against sporadic criminals and murderers. For the state to preserve its own monopoly of predation did indeed see to it that private and unsystematic crime was kept to a minimum. The state has always been jealous of its own preserve, especially has the state been successful in recent centuries in instilling the fear of other state rulers. Since the land area of the globe has been parceled out among particular states, one of the basic doctrines of the state was to identify itself with the territory it governed. Since most men tend to love their homeland, the identification of that land and its people with the state was a means of making natural patriotism work to the state's advantage. If Ruritania was being attacked by Waldavia, the first task of the state and its intellectuals was to convince the people of Ruritania that the attack was really upon them and not simply upon the ruling caste. In this way, a war between rulers was converted into a war between peoples, and each people coming to the defense of its rulers in the erroneous belief that the rulers were defending them. This device of nationalism has not only been successful in Western civilization in recent centuries, it was not too long ago that the mass of subjects regarded wars and irrelevant battles between various sets of nobles. Another tried and true method for bending subjects to the state's will is inducing guilt. Any increase in private well-being can be attacked as unconscionable greed, materialism, or excessive affluence. That's wealth. Profit-making can now be attacked as exploitation and usury, or high rates of interest. Mutually beneficial exchanges denounced as selfishness, and somehow with the conclusion always being drawn that more resources should be siphoned from the private to the public sector. The induced guilt makes the public more ready to do just that. For while individual persons tend to indulge in selfish greed, the failure of the state's rulers to engage in the exchanges is supposed to signify their devotion to higher and nobler causes. Parasitic predation being apparently morally and aesthetically lofty compared to peaceful and productive work. So the two ways the state helps us, or gets us to defend it through these guilt manipulation schemes, as well as making us think that it's important. Well, what does the state actually fear? What the state fears above all, of course, is fundamental threat to its own power and existence. The death of the state can come out two major ways, through conquest by another state or through a revolutionary overthrow by its own subjects, or in short, a war or revolution. Those are what it fears, and therefore it goes out of its way to try to prevent either thing from happening. Again, not that it might prevent or benefit all the American people or people under its jurisdiction, but that it might preserve itself. The state is there to preserve itself and its own power, not to promote the public interest. This has been the history of the world, folks. It's not just here in the United States. In fact, here our state is less parasitic in some sense than other states have been in history. Relatively less, I should say. It doesn't mean it's less. It doesn't mean we're the freest country in the history of the world by any means, at least compared to what we are right now. Compared to what we were in 1776, maybe that was the freest nation in the world at the time. Anyway, he concludes this article saying, just as the two basic and mutually exclusive interrelations between men are peaceful cooperation and coercive exploitation, production or predation, so the history of mankind, particularly in its economic history, may be considered as a contest between these two principles. On the one hand, there is creative productivity, peaceful exchange, and cooperation. On the other, coercive dictation and predation over those social relations. Albert J. Nock, one of our favorites here at TRN, happily termed these contesting forces social power and state power. Social power is man's power over nature, his cooperative transformation of nature's resources and insight into nature's law for the benefit of all participating individuals. Social power is the power over nature, the living standards achieved by men in mutual exchange. State power, as we've seen, is the coercive and parasitic seizure of this production, a draining of the fruits of society for the benefit of non-productive, actually anti-productive rulers. While social power is over nature, state power is power over man. Through history, man's productive and creative forces have, time and again, carved out new ways of transforming nature for man's benefit. These have been the times when social power has spurted ahead of state power and when the degree of state encroachment over society is considerably lessened. But always, after greater or smaller time lag, the state has moved in these new areas to cripple and confiscate social power once more. If the 17th through 19th centuries were, in many countries of the West, times of accelerating social power and corollarily increase in freedom, peace, and material welfare, the 20th century has been, was primarily an age in which state power has been catching up with a consequent reversion to slavery, war, and destruction. Well, that's something about the nature of the state. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the ramifications of this.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics.
You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Oh, and we try to do that here at Christian Worldview. What do we think about the state, then? As Christians, we ought to look at the state for what it is. It is a marauding, nasty band of thugs that moves around places in the country from policy to policy, from ethnic group to ethnic group, from free people to free people, to enslave them, to bring them into a condition of poverty or dependence at the very least. I wouldn't say necessarily abject poverty is the means for all states. It hasn't been for this one. In fact, some states, like the American state, have realized that keeping people in abject poverty isn't necessarily the best way to do things. If you get them fat, dumb, and happy, they're a lot easier to manipulate and to get to support the state parasitic idea. And that's what's happened here in America. But at any rate, this state is our enemy, as Albert J. Nock pointed out. And we're not talking about government. There is a difference that Nock notes, and I have an article at policyofliberty.net describing, between governments and states. Government is what was envisioned by the founding fathers, a limited collective action against those who would want to harm us, against predators. It is a reactive policy which only goes into effect in a typical sense when we're either attacked by a foreign aggressor or by a domestic predator of one form or another, or even a microorganism. Now, sure, there are still the ranks of government there. You know, you have the checks and balances, and the three branches of government are still there. But this is not a state. A state is something that is proactive, that tries to change people's behavior. A state tries to redistribute wealth. A state tries to implement all sorts of policy which take on for itself the appearance of, or the actions of, public enterprises. So instead of letting markets provide certain things, states step in and actually do the provision. These are the things we oppose, because these are things that cause mayhem, misery, and in many places poverty in the world. We do not like states if we are Christians. If anything, we're gonna support a limited government. I think Murray Rothbard I'm sure he would not even have gone that far. But nevertheless, we stand with him in being opposed to a state, the idea of having states in general. Who wants to have government indoctrination of our children or anyone with their nonsensical ideas through their public school system? Who wants them and their cronies to be able to have control over the money supply in America? Who wants them to be able to confiscate half or more of all the money you earn? These are bad things, folks. They're not things we enjoy or appreciate in the Christian worldview. These are violations of the commandments. They're violations of what God sets down as principles for fair trade. They are violations of, as I said, not only the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, but how many other commandments, the violation of other commandments, does the state promote? I think it promotes children not respecting their parents. And then allowing children's rights and these kinds of things. Then you have other examples of immorality that are promoted by the state, murder through abortion, if nothing else. Their sodomite care, their anti-Christian principles. Certainly the state is not the friend of the Ten Commandments, and rarely, if ever, has been in the history of the world. Well, this week I want to also point your attention to this article which I've written in the Times Examiner. It's also available online. Part one came out last week in the Times Examiner, part two this week, called Christians and Self-Defense Against Criminals, Including the State. Do Christians have a right of self-defense? If so, under what circumstances may they defend themselves? Will they only defend themselves against criminals, or against civil authorities too? Well, these are some of the great questions that I try to answer from the scriptures in these articles, as well as to remind you of some of the things that are quoted by our founding fathers in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Articles of Confederation. Now, this evening, you're going to have an opportunity to discuss these and other ideas if you go to the Institute on the Constitution. The Institute on the Constitution will be held at 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer, South Carolina. If you get off the left-hand exit towards Williamston, you're going to be very close to it. I'll just let you go to MapQuest and find out your way to get there. The Institute on the Constitution starts at 6:30 p.m. tonight, and it goes till 8:30. Now, if you can't get out of Greenville fast enough to get over there, and you're going to be late, that's okay. They'll still take you if you come late. They'd like you to get there around 6:30 this evening. Before you go, please stop by the policyofliberty.net website and read this article or listen to it being read. There's an MP3 file there. You can either go to the policyofliberty.net website or the new tyrannyresponse.com website, and read about the Christians and self-defense against criminals, including the state article. You should have that read and in hand, if possible, before you attend the meeting on the Institute and the Constitution. There's also another series of articles there that have been read, a little bit longer section under the Liberty Minutes portion of policyofliberty.net or under the tyrannyresponse.com webpage. Christian Views on Rebellion, Highlighting the American War for Independence. Also a must-read primer for those who want to understand the mixture of biblical truth with the principles of the Founding Fathers. Once again, remember, our backup phone line is the only one working today, folks. Regardless of what the announcement is, the commercial about the phone number, you can only dial this morning 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Contemplate the mangled bodies of your countrymen, and then say, what should be the reward of such sacrifices? If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude than the animating contest of freedom, go from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or arms. Crouch down and lick the hands which feed you. May your chains sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen. Samuel Adams.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but he has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as he did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The ultimate result of shielding men from the effects of folly is to fill the world with fools. Herbert Spencer, English philosopher, 1820 through 1903.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children,
Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. A beautiful day in store for us here in the upstate of South Carolina, currently about 60 degrees, depending on where you are, give or take a point. And it's going to get up to about 80 degrees today under sunny skies. There's a little bit of patchy fog here and there this morning, but that'll be burning off real soon. Should have just a beautiful day in store for you while you sit in your cubicle contemplating what it could be like being outside. At any rate, as you're making your way out to work, nothing to worry about weather-wise, at any rate, and you're going to have a glorious day. We've been talking about a number of very interesting things here on Christian Worldview this morning, as we usually do. I want to continue that discussion. Before I go there, though, I want to remind you that we have a new website, and it's called TyrannyResponse.com. TyrannyResponse.com has a lot of our announcements, including the Institute on the Constitution, which I just mentioned. If you want to find out more information about that, go to the website. You'll find all the information there on how to register, more detailed instructions content description. Also have information on things like the Times Examiner, the Political Cesspool, these places we support and mention here on the air. Going to point you there rather than have to take a lot of time reading and rereading details to people that might be driving and don't necessarily have a pencil handy to get the details. We have events such as the Libertarian Party events that are up there. Going to have the Constitution Party events up there as well. As soon as they can get me some information, or get the Tyranny Response Network, some information on these their events. I also like to remind folks that we are in need of computer equipment here at the Tyranny Response Network. One of our faithful supporters has offered to match the first $400 of contributions that will be dropped off at Integrity Group, designated and earmarked for the new computer equipment. So if you can match or can use a small or give a small amount of cash for, or even the whole $400 to the Tyranny Response Network, we could greatly use that money right now to buy some new computer equipment that's desperately needed to complete the expansion of our signal and so forth. So if you can do that, come by 514 Pettigrew Street, drop it off in an envelope with the receptionist downstairs, or ask for Dr. Coben and see if we can't meet face-to-face. In addition to that, if you happen to have an older computer, Pentium 2, Pentium 3, whatever, that you're no longer using anymore and would like to get rid of it, but don't want to just throw it in the trash, well, we can use those old computers. If you could also bring those to the 514 Pettigrew Street address, we will put those computers to good use in some of our networking. So if you have the ability to do that, we'd appreciate you doing so. You might also send a comment to the questions@policyofliberty.net address, and if you need to make other special arrangements. Also, the Tyranny Response Network wants me to let you know that they are looking for people who have high ground in the upstate, literally, topographically, high ground in Spartanburg County or Pickens, Anderson, Greenville counties. If you do, give us a call if you're wanting to help out with the promotion and the transmission of the Tyranny Response Network signal. Be glad that you did. Send an email to trn@policyofliberty.net and cc@policyofliberty.net, and we'll tell you how you could be a great part of helping support and promote this network endeavor. Well, what else is going on in the news today? In the news today, tax receipts exceed Treasury predictions. Isn't this good to know? Jonathan Weissman, Washington Post staff reporter, says Thursday, a week ago, after 3 years of rising federal budget deficits, a surge of April tax receipts brought unexpected good news to fiscal policymakers. The tide of government red ink appears to be receding. Oh, aren't we happy to hear such stories like that, that they've been able to loot more people or the same amount of people for more money this year than they have in previous years? Nice to know. What do we think about these states? It's an egregious thing with what goes on. Well, one of our listeners had been, of course, listening to the Christian Worldview show and had sent in an article to me from lewrockwell.com called "An Historian Shills for the Welfare State." This is by Thomas J. DiLorenzo. Now, we like Thomas J. DiLorenzo a lot because he wrote the book The Real Lincoln and helped people understand a little bit more about what the War of Yankee Aggression was all about And exactly what transpired then for the actual degradation of American liberty. Before I read this, I want to give you the phone number once again. Our backup line is the only one that's working here at the show, 864-201-6955. 864-201-6955 is the phone number today. If you're listening to the show at any time other than 7:30 to 9 in the morning Eastern Time, and this happens to be May the 16th, 2005, you're listening to a recorded show. Don't call in at all because no one will be there to answer your phone call. But if you are calling between those hours of 7:39 on the 16th, actually it's 8:38 at the moment. So if you're calling between there and 9 o'clock, be happy to take your phone call here on Christian Worldview. Well, in this article by Thomas G. Lorenzo, he says in a May 4th Washington Post article entitled "Lessons for Iraq from Gettysburg." Post writer David Ignatius reports on how Princeton University historian James McPherson informed a discussion group sponsored by the Secretary of Defense about how to rebuild societies. How to rebuild societies, drawing his lessons from the period of Reconstruction in America, 1866 to 1877. McPherson supposedly told the Defense Department bureaucrats as they toured the Gettysburg battlefield that there were intriguing parallels between post-war Iraq and the post-war South. Like so much of what passes for Civil War history, such parallels are based primarily on lies, myths, and 19th-century Republican Party propaganda. The Northern Army killed some 300,000 Southern men, one out of four of military age, bombed entire cities and burned others to the ground, and generally pillaged and plundered the entire region, carrying off tens of millions of dollars in private property, homes, farms, and businesses in huge areas of Virginia. Georgia and the Carolinas were put to the torch. The gang rape was not uncommon in the Union Army. The entire Southern economy was destroyed and would take more than a century to recover. After the war, there was a military occupation by the Republican Party, which would hold a monopoly of power on the federal government for the succeeding several decades. The grand old party, as it shamelessly and immodestly calls itself, used that monopoly power to continue the pillaging and plundering of the South for more than a decade after the war by imposing punitive taxes on Southerners, providing very little public services in return, with untold millions being confiscated by the Republican Party hacks who swarmed over the region, carpetbaggers, as they're called, and ran the state and local governments. Little was done for the ex-slaves, despite all the empty rhetoric about 40 acres and a mule. Why would the Republican Party, the party of big business, use the powers of government to help the ex-slaves when it could use that power to help itself instead? Southerners, only 5% of whom ever owned slaves, naturally objected to being plundered by an occupying army for an entire decade after their country had been destroyed by that army. The lesson for Iraq and all this country, according to James McPherson, is that Southerners who oppose being abused and exploited in this manner should be thought of as an insurgency, just as today's Arab terrorists, led by Osama bin Laden, are the grandchildren of the great-grandchildren of Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Patrick Henry, John Randolph, James Monroe, Andrew Jackson, John Marshall, and the other prominent Southerners, who apparently are no different than today's terrorists, according to McPherson, as reported by David Ignatius. Interesting article. We really appreciate Thomas G. Lorenzo for putting some true perspective on what's going on and debunking some of the nonsense that comes out of America, academia, and the North. What a shame it is that what's happening in the world today, in America at any rate. But we're here trying to combat it, folks, at Christian Worldview, and you're listening to the Christian Worldview Show with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Right is right, even if everyone is against it. And wrong is wrong, even if everyone is for it. William Penn.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
You know, we've been talking about states and what the anatomy of the state is. Murray Rothbard's article, read a little bit earlier, talked about the warfare state, who this historian's talking about from Princeton University, loving the warfare state. And we've been critical of these kinds of activities here on the Christian Worldview Show. There is an article that came out by Leslie Wiese, and she writes about a volunteer police state, why we were forced out of Bush's Social Security tax talk. And why won't the White House identify fake Secret Service agent who stopped us? April 25th, 2005, just over a month has passed since two friends and I were forced out of President Bush's town hall-style conversation in Denver about privatizing Social Security, says Leslie Wiese. Despite all support we have received from elected officials in our request for answers from the White House regarding this incident, Karen Barr, Alex Young, and I still await satisfactory explanation of why our First Amendment rights were violated. I did not vote for Bush in the last election, but was looking forward to participating in this historic occasion. It would be my first time in the presence of a sitting president, and I wanted to hear more about his plans to alter the Social Security system. After the entrance of March 21st event, a man wearing an earpiece and lapel pin was presented to us as a Secret Service agent after Karen and I were told that we had been ID'd. This man threatened us with arrest several times before stepping aside and allowing us to enter. I asked if I was on some sort of list, but received no response. Before I'd much had a chance to worry about what it meant to be ID'd by the Secret Service, the man with the earpiece was back to demand that we leave. As he aggressively moved the three of us towards the exit, we kept asking why this was happening. He simply replied that it was a private event and that we had to leave. Isn't it interesting that's the way the Bush administration works? Not surprising for us, just interesting to know how things actually work here and there. Well, we have this whole section on the tyrannyresponse.com webpage, as well as on my webpage, policyofliberty.net. This link that says deep questions for Dr. Coben's radio show. And from time to time, we try to read. In fact, every week we try to get a little bit of these questions here in here on the show, as well as in my Times Examiner articles. I've been trying to write on some of these themes in recent months. Well, question number two says, may a government legalize crime or the actions that God says are wicked? Now, this should be a very fundamental question that all Christians should be able to answer, and even people who are not Christians who just love liberty in general. May a government legalize crime or actions that God says are wicked? For instance, may it legalize abortion? May it legalize theft through confiscatory taxation? May it legalize behavior modification schemes or the inculcation of people with secular humanist ideas? Well, it can do these things because it does them. We see that all around us. But it may not do it and be right. It has no permission from the Creator to do such things. And it did, by doing so, it does not change the morality or the ethics involved. Part two of this question says, what does the Bible mean when it says that states are ordained by God? Well, this is an important question because in Romans 13 we read that the higher powers are ordained by God. And apparently Paul is talking about the state there, the Roman state. And they are ordained by God. We believe that as evangelical Christians. But what does it possibly mean when we see that states plunder people, that their parasitic nature leads them to be unproductive and anti-productive, as Murray Rothbard says? when we see them plundering and killing, maiming, destroying property, confiscating property, destroying the environment, and wreaking havoc on civil society, which is normally what states do. They don't do the opposite, which many Christians are lulled into believing, bring peace and order to civilization. When states bring this kind of havoc in the world, how can we say that they're ordained by God? Well, it's not just the exception that you have rogue, nasty states. It's the rule. The exception in the history of the world is to find a government, not a state, but a government that does not practice proactive policies of behavior modification, redistribution of wealth, or tyranny. So how can they be ordained by God? Well, I argue the only way that they're ordained by God is the same way that Satan himself is ordained by God. God ordains all things whatsoever come to pass. He decrees all these things, including the rise of Hitlers and Stalins and Mao's and George W. Bush's and Abraham Lincoln's or whoever else. God in his providence permits these things and actually ordains it for the sanctification of his people, the church, and for the punishment terrestrially of evildoers or of sinners, not just evildoers, but sinners in general, according to his good pleasure. This is why God allows these things. This is how they are ordained. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn. We're going to continue this question in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coburn.
Power tends to corrupt. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
I contend that for a nation to try to tax itself into prosperity is like a man standing in a bucket and trying to lift himself up by the handle. Winston Churchill. This is Dr. John Coburn. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coburn, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And you know, Fred Reed says the following: the only good thing that can be said about Democrats is that when they are in power, the Republicans are not. Good point, Fred. Appreciate that comment. Okay, getting back to question two, the deep questions for Dr. Coburn's radio show. So, governments are ordained by God, states are ordained by God in the same way that Satan himself is ordained by God, or false religion, or other evil things in the world. If government does wrong, when and to what extent, passively or actively, may Christians oppose it? Well, if government does wrong, just as any other criminal does wrong, a Christian who has a right of self-defense, as I have argued in my recent Times Examiner article, see that article online, by the way, at policyofliberty.net, in case you want to hear my position there. And I think you'll find it challenging, even if you end up being a pacifist or an anarchist at the end of the day. At any rate, when government does wrong, becomes a criminal, Christians can defend themselves actively or passively against the state. Doesn't mean they should do so, but the possibility is opened up. In other words, just because you can defend yourself doesn't mean you necessarily should. If you're the only guy about to throw a spear or shoot an arrow at the Huey helicopter or whatever about to blast you, there's really not a whole point. It's just suicide. But if Christians could get enough numbers together against the rogue state, I don't think there's any problem with us defending ourselves as we would against any other criminal. It makes no difference that these people are elected, as we read earlier in Murray Rothbard's article. It doesn't matter that people voted for them to instill their criminal behavior in society. These things do not justify their existence or their continued practice of evil, and we can't oppose it. Were Lincoln and FDR criminals? Yes. Why were Lincoln and FDR criminals? Well, because they killed people, because they lied and committed fraud, because they stole property through taxation and otherwise. That's just to name a few things. And there are others, other things that they did as well, but they were predators of the highest degree here in America. And we still live with the results of their predation and the after effects, the aftermath of all the evil which they inflicted upon the United States of America. So, indeed, Lincoln and FDR were criminals. Didn't matter that they weren't breaking any laws of the United States or legislation. They were still criminals because they broke God's law, because they became predators. Even in a pluralistic society, they'd have to be recognized as such, except by those who have Marxian globalist tendencies, who tend to think that the things that they espouse were good. They call evil good and good evil, as states typically tend to do, and as these philosophers of the left tend to do. Who or what defines what is a criminal? Well, certainly not the state in terms of God's perspective. We define criminals as those who are attacking innocent people or who are violating the law of God. One of those two or both of those two definitions. People who invade other people's privacy for their own gain. One person gains and the other one loses. The criminal comes in and benefits at the expense of the victim. This is what a criminal is by nature, and it is what governments have become, states now, criminals by nature. Who defines what is a criminal? Well, the state will define who it thinks are criminals. Christians can be criminals. For instance, this pastor in North Carolina at the moment is engaging in criminal activity, apparently, by talking about people not voting for John Kerry, or people that do vote for them, actually, him not being able to be members of his church. This man is engaging in hate speech or a criminal activity, as far as many legislators and judges are concerned. But is he committing a crime from God's point of view? No. Ultimately, criminals are defined not by what the state wants to call, what the state ultimately thinks criminals are. We don't judge whether or not we can defend ourselves against a criminal according to whether the state thinks he's a criminal, at least according to what the state thinks, but rather on what God thinks. And as Christians, we always want to be submitted to the Word of God. Somebody enters your home to take your children away and put them in a public school forcibly, that man becomes a kidnapper and a criminal. It matters not that he wears a social service badge or comes from the government. You can't defend yourself against that person. He is a criminal as soon as he enters your home and with that intent, that malicious intent. Somebody enters your home and tells you can't spank your kids. Go ahead and shoot him if he tries to coerce you in any way because he is doing something that's completely wrong. Is that radical or what? Well, it's only radical because we've been dumbed down. We've been manipulated by both the media and our government school training, and we don't understand the principles of either the Bible or the Founding Fathers. This can be alleviated, by the way, if you go tonight a little bit to the Institute on the Constitution. If you want more details about the Institute on the Constitution, go to the website, tyrannyresponse.com, and find out more about this great event that's happening at 6:30 tonight in Pelzer, 203 Ina Marie Lane in Pelzer. MapQuest that if you need to. Come at 6:30. If you can't get there right on time because you're driving a long way and you've just got home from work and family time, don't worry. They'll accept you if you come late, but they'd like you to be there at 6:30 p.m. tonight. Lord willing, I'm going to make it tonight, at least for a good piece of the Institute on the Constitution. I have other conflicts that will prevent me from being there for a long time, conflicting schedules in this very busy time during the spring for me. But I'll try to be there showing my support for these good folks there and Pastor Tony Roma and all their efforts in putting forth the Institute on the Constitution. I also want to remind you of one other thing, and that is the Libertarian Party meetups. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find they are regular people like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road, across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. I think that must be a week from this Wednesday. It's at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street in downtown Greenville. Love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited government, the constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And one last time today, I'll give you the plea we have for more computer equipment. We need your used computer, Pentium 2, Pentium 3, or anything else. That's after Pentium 2, at any rate. You can drop it off at 514 Pettigrew Street. That's the Integrity Group office in downtown Greenville. And make sure that the Tyranny Response Network gets a hold of that old computer. We can put it to use, so please bring it by. It's important. It may not be important to you anymore, but it's important to us. Also, we have one of our longtime listeners willing to match contributions of cash for new computer equipment, which up to $400. And so you can also bring by that money and drop it off at the Integrity Group so we can get some much-needed new computer equipment. If you can help with the signal of the Tyranny Response broadcasts throughout the day, they are looking for high ground people topographically who live in Spartanburg, Greenville, Anderson, or Pickens County with some high ground. And if you qualify, if you have some high ground and are able to help out with the signal, the Tyranny Response Network staff would like to hear from you. You can reach them by sending an email to trn@policyofliberty.net. That's trn@policyofliberty.net. You can also give a phone call to Brad at 449-0302. That's 449-0302, and let him know you heard about and wanted to help with high ground, the high ground issue. 449-0302. Well, this has been a great show once again. A little bit quiet Monday morning after a very rousing last week. I suppose that everybody has been mesmerized today with all the great information about the state today and talking about some important news stories from the Christian worldview. Glad that you've listened and glad that you've been able to think a little bit deeper today. Go to the website, tyrannyresponse.com. See how we're improving there. Not just at Policy of Liberty, but now expanding out a little bit further our reach by including some other important aspects about things we announce here on the show at tyrannyresponse.com. At any rate, we'll be looking forward to another great broadcast day tomorrow morning with you on the Tyranny Response Network. Until then, God bless you. This is Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.